that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. So the presence of the living God is already here. If you need healing, the presence of God is already here. If you need deliverance, God is already here. Whatever you need, God is here. Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Letter of Philippians, please. Most of my sermon's already been preached. And you know, this is God again. It's a confirmation, isn't it? And what Andrew posted in our messenger group chat this afternoon somewhat sums up what I had prepared to bring this afternoon.
Do you know something? As I posted it, I had this sense that it was a pre-runner for what you were preaching on.
Well, there you go.
Honestly,
that's God. And what he posted, the very end, he said, "We are all in progress." And that is the very kind of heart behind what I'm preaching this afternoon. We're all in progress. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This portion of scripture is very dear to me because this speaks volume to me. In days where I feel like, do you know, what's the point of this? This scripture has always inspired me. This scripture has always shook me. This scripture has always revived life back in me again. So I pray that as I preach this word this afternoon, that it will revive us, amen, that it will refresh us, that it will renew something of the Spirit within us that will enable us to move forward to more of Jesus, amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The title of my sermon this afternoon is, I Am Confident. Amen. I am confident. Say it with me. I am confident. I am confident. This is what Paul says to the believers in Philippi. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. I'm going to read from ESV version, then we're going to look at NIV version as well. This is what it says in NIV version. Being confident of this. In other words, I am confident, says Paul, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He has begun that good work within each and every one of us already. Like what Andrew posted this afternoon, we are all in progress. He sees that, he understands that, and he is with us. This is what it says in ESV version. And I'm sure of this. In other words, I'm 100% sure. Amen. I'm confident and I'm 100% sure that he, God, who began a good work in me, in you, will bring it to completion. Amen. There is hope. He will bring it to completion. Yesterday, I think it was the word for today from yesterday, it was talking about bouncing back. So many times, sometimes when we fall, we think it's the end. We think that's us. We won't be able to bring ourselves back up again. But that is complete lie. The Word of God again and again reminds us that He is God of grace. Amen. The Word of God again and again reminds us that there is hope, that there is grace for each and every one of us. Doesn't matter how many times we've fallen, the grace of God will always pick us up. Amen. The grace of God will always pick us up. And the Word for today was talking about the same thing, that in spite of whatever we might have done yesterday or the day before or last month or the last year, it's all been forgotten, forgiven. Amen. Because we are all new in Jesus Christ, and now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And I'm confident of that scripture. There is no condemnation. Amen. There is no condemnation. The Word of God doesn't say there is condemnation. No, no, no. The Word of God reminds us now there is no condemnation. Amen. So tomorrow when I wake up, I declare it. Now there is no condemnation. In spite of what I did yesterday or the day before or whatever had happened in the past, now there is no condemnation because I have made that decision to follow Jesus and I'm not going back, neither am I looking back. Amen. We're not looking back. We're not going back. We're moving forward. We're pressing on towards Jesus Christ because He hasn't given up on us. Because the Word of God says, He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. And as I was preparing this message, God put three things in my heart that I'd like us to look at this afternoon. As I was pondering upon this scripture, I started asking God, God, what is it that you want us to be mindful of as we press on towards this new season that you have for us? And first thing I believe God put in my heart for each and every one of us this afternoon is this: be prepared. Be prepared. Amen. be prepared. All that you have gone through, you went through that season for a reason. Amen. Nothing goes to waste. None of your experiences go to waste. None of the storms that you face go to waste. There is a reason why you went through what you went through. And this afternoon I want to remind us that there is a greater purpose that God has for each and every one of us. That's why you have to go through that storm. There was a greater purpose that God has for me. That's why I had to go through whatever I've been through. And each and every one of us, when we're going through this dark phase in our lives, we always ask the question to God, saying, God, why am I going through this? And I've got an answer for each and every one of us. God will say to you, because I am preparing you. Because I am preparing you. Because I have great things in store for you. Because I've got this great plan and a purpose for your life. And I want you to be strengthened in your faith. I don't want you to stay where you are. I want you to go. That's what I had to shake the nest, the word of God would say to us. He had to shake the nest because we were sat there. We were getting fed. We were sat there. And that's why God had to shake the nation. Amen. Because God wanted His people to come back to Him. Because God had great things in store for His people. And that's why God shook the nation, just to get attention. And sometimes when we go through phases in our life, God wants to get our attention. Because sometimes I believe we get too carried away with our purposes and our plans rather than God's purposes and God's plans. It's not the case of what I want for my life. It's the question. The real question is, what does God want from me? We always go to God, asking God, saying, God, please bless me. God, please give me. God, please, like, pour something in my life. But have we ever gone to God and say, God, today I just want to pour out my worship to you? And the Word of God also reminds us, be prepared in season and out of season. I think none of us kind of prepared anything for what was happening and what came to us. It all happened so quick and so fast, and I think it shook every one of us in some ways. But I want to remind each and every one of us, this is the time for us to trust in God. This is not the time for us to wander away. This is the time for us to trust in God. This is time for us to hold on to God. This is the time where we're waiting. But I believe waiting time is preparation time. Waiting time is preparation time. Each and every one of us, we're here right now for a reason. This is no coincidence. There is a reason. The reason why we sat in these chairs today, this afternoon, there is a reason behind it. Because God has got a plan for your life. Because God wants to use you. Because God wants you to be not just receiving. God wants you to be contributors. Contributing to this nation. Contributing to intake. Contributing to the church. Contributing to the change that's about to take place in this nation for Jesus Christ. Amen. God wants us to be contributors. It's about running in the same direction. It's about having this long obedience in the same direction. You know, Jesus said to Peter, come, follow me and I will make you. Jesus said to Peter, let me say that again. Come, follow me and I will make you. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you today, this afternoon. Come, follow me and I will make you. Jesus would ask you this question. Are you not tired of trying to make yourself someone? Let me make you instead. Let me make you. I see a lot of good men running the race in vain, trying to big up their name, trying to gain a bit of reputation. And that's not what I see in the Bible. When the disciples, when they met together, they were in there for one another. They weren't there for themselves. And sadly, like, I don't know what happened throughout the generations, but somewhere, somehow, we forgot something. And somewhere, somehow, we missed out something. This whole aspect of unity. This whole aspect of, do you know what, let's do this together. This whole aspect of, you're not just in this boat yourself, I'm here with you. Amen. This whole aspect of, do you know what, you're struggling, let me help you. Do you know what, you're struggling, let me be there for you. Do you know what, you want someone to talk to, come talk to me. Do you know what, you're struggling, let me help you. Somewhere, somehow, we've forgotten all these great values. And what we have today is me, myself, and I. How can I be rich? How can I gain wealth? How can I be famous? How can I make myself look good? All about me and I. But when I look in the scriptures, the whole reason why Paul is writing this letter to church in Philippi is to teach them and to remind them that it's all about unity. Amen. It is all about unity. It's not about leaders. It's not about just me and I and what I can do. This is all about what we can do for Jesus. Amen. This isn't about what I can do for Jesus. This is all about what we can do for Jesus. And Jesus wants us to run this race. Jesus wants us to run this race with fresh fire, with this fresh vision within each and every one of us. This is time for preparation. This isn't time to wander away. This is time to get stuck in the Word of God. This is time for us, and Jesus wants us to be prepared. Second thing, as I was preparing this, God, I felt God put in my heart was this. It's time to make room for the new. Yes. Amen. Let me say that again. It's time to make room for the new. We only receive the new thing when we clear out the old thing. Let me say that again. We only receive the new thing when we clear out the old thing. In Windows, you know, whenever we delete one of the folders, where does it go? Recycle bin. Yeah. And what do? We go to a recycle bin, then we empty the recycle bin. And if you're using MacBook or Apple devices, when you delete something, it goes to trash. And then you delete from trash. Okay? And it's very similar to us. When we delete something from our life, all unbeknown to us, we still store it in our recycle bin. And we forget to completely delete it and completely erase it. And what that does is, further down the line, it all comes back again. It unravels itself. And what that does is it overwhelms us so much so that we forget all that God did for us. We forget all that we had overcome. And we get back to that place again where we become completely broken, where we become completely forgetful of who God is and His great powers and His great ability that can transform lives and that can change a person from inside out. We forget all of that. Why? Because there were still old things stored in our hearts. And as I was pondering upon this scripture, I felt God say to me, it's time for us to let go of the old. It's time for us to let go of the old. Resentment is time to let go. Unforgiveness is time to let go. Bitterness is time to let go. Old mistakes is time to let go. Amen. We cannot run the new journey with old clothes on. We have to let go of our garments. We have to throw the old garments. We have to put on the new garment and run the new race. When the Son returns to the Father in Luke chapter 15, we don't see Son wearing the same clothes. The Father ran to Son and the Father gave him new clothes. New garment. Why? Because he was new. And although his brother came to the father and said to his father, reminded the father of some of his old things, the father said, I don't remember any of those. All you need to know is your brother was blind, but now he can see. And it's the same case for each and every one of us. God wants to do the new thing in each and every one of his lives. God wants to do new thing in his church, but we're still holding on to the old thing. It's time to let go. It's time to let go. It's time to let go. It is time to let go, because God cannot do a new thing in your life if you're still holding on to old. God wants you to let go, and God wants you to receive. Amen. I cannot receive if I've still got the old thing. I need to let go so that I can receive. And it's time to let go to receive. And in the church in Philippi, Paul wants the believers to understand that God wants to do a new thing in your life. But you cannot receive the new thing if you are behaving the old way. Something needs to change. Something has to change. We need to fix our focus. Let me say that. We need to fix our focus. Did you know that we have these brain cells in our brain? Okay? And we have positive brain cells and we have negative brain cells. And every time we think negative, what the brain cells do is they alter, and all these positive brain cells, they turn into negative. So what that does is that slowly begins to affect our whole body, causing us to suffer with a lot of mental disorder, causes us to suffer with a lot of anxiety, paranoia. It's all to do with what we're thinking. And in the science, they've recently figured out that every time when you meditate on something good, what that does is that gives birth to new positive cells. Amen? That gives birth to new positive cells. And what them positive cells they do is all of a sudden, they began to work in your brain and they kick out all the negative brain cells from your brain, bringing about a new whole revived body. Amen? And the Word of God reminds us that His grace and His mercies are new every morning. So what's that saying? It's every time when we meditate on the Word of God, what's that doing scientifically? It's all the positive brain cells, we're giving them all the energy to tackle all the negative brain cells. So the reason why we suffer a lot from mental disorder, the reason why we suffer a lot from paranoia and anxiety is because we think a lot of negative thoughts. Maybe someone might have said something to you in the past, and because of that, maybe you have been pondering upon them thoughts even after 12, 20 years. And maybe could it be the reason why you've not been able to do the things that you've always wanted to do, because someone once spoke the lie into your life, and then that lie has now turned out to be a truth in your life for you. But I'm going to break that today in the name of Jesus. Amen. It is not true. Amen. Say it with me. It's not true. It's not true. There might have been a lot of people who might have spoken a lot of negativity over you. There might have been a lot of people who might have spoken a lot of lies over you, telling you will never be able to succeed in life, telling you you'll never be able to, you will never be enough. You are not enough. You will never be able to fulfill anything in life. You are useless. Them voices, it's time for you today to tackle them voices in the name of Jesus, amen. Because the Word of God says, I give you all authority, amen. You have that authority today. I choose today to dwell upon the good things. And the Word of God says, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think about such things. The list goes on and on and on. Think about such things. And when you start thinking about them things, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Change will begin to take place in your life. Trust me. All of a sudden, your perspective will change. Why? Because now you have chosen to take authority of your mind. Your brain does not control you. You control your brain. Amen. Your sickness does not control you. You control the sickness in the name of Jesus. Don't let them negativity pull you down. No, I'm not going to let my feelings, I'm not going to let my emotions drain me or pull me down. I'm not going to let anything of the past pull me and stop me to reach out to what God has for me. And I'm not going to let any one of you sit where you are because of what had happened to you in the past. No, I'm going to say to you this afternoon, we're in this together. We're in this together. We're going to succeed together in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to succeed together in the name of Jesus. We're going to succeed together. Because what you focus is what you'll see. Yeah. If you focus on the negativity, yeah, everything you see will be negative. Yeah. But if you focus on the positivity, if you focus in the Word of God, yeah, all of a sudden your perspective will change. All of a sudden you will have this great faith in you. Well, you say to the mountain, you move in the name of Jesus. You look at the giant straight in his face and you'll say to the giant, move, you have nothing on me. When David looked at Goliath's face, David did not get shook. David did not get scared because David knew who God was, and because he knew who God was, because he chose to dwell on the positive word of the God, the giant wasn't able to do anything to you. Wasn't able to do anything to David because he fixed his focus, and his focus was Jesus. He had faith, and because of his faith, everything changed. Because of his faith, he was able to kill the giant. He was able to slay the giant. And you might have a lot of giants that you're facing right now, today, this week, this month, I don't know, whatever it is. And your giant might look really massively big to you. But I want to tell you something. Them giants have nothing against you. Because they've not seen your God yet. I tell you what, when them giants come to you, show them your God. Show them your God. They'll run away in the name of Jesus. I mean, they will run away in the name of Jesus. First thing was, this is time for us. And God wants us to be prepared. Amen. Second thing, God wants to make room for the new. So that's what we need to clear some of the old junk from our heart so that God can bring in the new. Third thing, and this was a very funny thing, because I'm thinking, God put this in my heart, and I'm thinking, what's this, God? And I really felt God say, be ready to be surprised. Be ready to be surprised. And I'm thinking, what? Be ready to be surprised. And as I began to ponder upon that thing, be ready to be surprised. God, what does it actually mean? God say to me, the way you think is going to work out, it's not the way it's going to work out. I'm not. The way you think it's going to work out is not the way it's going to work out. And I'm thinking, God, what's this? Then God brought to my memory some of the characters from the Bible. Peter, he didn't think that he'd be preaching the gospel one day. He didn't think that he was going to preach the gospel and thousands were going to respond to the message. He didn't think that he'd be one of the disciples of Jesus. He didn't see that coming. But surprise, surprise, guess what? When Peter was fishing with his mate, Jesus said, "Peter, come follow me and I will make you." When Matthew's the tax collector, when Matthew's there and he's collecting all the tax, I bet Matthew didn't think that he was going to be one of the disciples. Matthew didn't even think that he was going to write one of the gospels. But hello, hello, surprise, surprise, plot twist, what does happen? Matthew's writing the gospel. And what does God do? God uses the same very gift that Matthew had, keeping accounts. Matthew was very good with keeping accounts of all the people who were paying him taxes. He had this little thing and he was writing good accounts. And what does he do in the gospel of Matthew? He starts with accounts. He starts with all the names. The only gospel in the Bible where the gospel starts with loads of names. Although we skip them names and we get to the main. We do that. I'm guilty of doing that. I skip the names and I'll just get to the story. Okay? But them names, God used his gift. Paul the Apostle, he was a persecutor, persecuting all the Christians, Paul. And this was the very letter Paul wrote. Paul was a persecutor. Although he was a very educated man, he was a very well-spoken man. He had loads of degrees, very educated. He went to university and he was one of the top, okay? But what does he do? When he has this encounter with Jesus, that changes everything for him. That changes everything for him. And also now he becomes one of the apostles writing letters to the churches. And when he's writing this letter, he's actually in prison, writing this letter to the believers in Philippi. And he's saying to them, "Listen, God who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." Why I know that? Because God has still got some more plans left for me to do. Amen. He's in prison. He should have given up hope. He should have thought, "Oh, I'm in prison. This is me and I'm going to get locked up for the rest of my life." No, but he knew God had something for him. That's why he was able to write from that same inspiration, because he felt it in him and is now encouraging to the churches in Philippi, saying to them, "Listen, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." He's not done with you yet. And I want to say this very thing to you as well. God's not done with you yet. God is not done with you yet. What Andrew wrote this afternoon, we're all in progress. God's not done with us yet. He who began and started a good work in each and every one of us. Remind yourself every time you fail. Remind yourself every time you fall. Remind yourself every time you feel like giving up, God's not done with me yet. If there's anything I'd like you to take with you this afternoon, take this with you. God's not done with me yet. I'm confident in this truth that God's not done with me yet. Every time when I wake up, I know God's not done with me yet. Every time when I look at myself, I say, "This is not the end, this is the beginning." I wake up every morning saying to myself, "This is the beginning. This is the beginning." And every time when you wake up, say to yourself, "This is the beginning. This is not the end. This is not the end. This is the beginning." Amen. I heard someone say this once, okay? That when we get to heaven, we'll probably be very surprised at some of the people who will be there and who won't be there. Okay? And this comes to that same thing about be ready to be surprised. Sometimes we base our Christianity upon how well we perform. Okay? And let me make this clear. We're not a performing church. We are not a performance-based church. We are a relationship-based church. Amen. We are a relationship-based church. From the very day I walked into this church, I knew this was a relationship-based church, because we're not about performing well. We're not about trying to look righteous, holy, this and the other. We are in this journey together. We watch out for one another. We make sure that each and every one of us, we're growing together. The reason why we kind of encourage everyone to get involved, it's because we want everyone to grow. We want everyone to feel part of the family. Not just part of the family. We want everyone to know that they are part of the family. There's a difference between feeling and knowing. Know this, that you are part of the family. Know this, that if something happens to you, we're there for you. Know that if something happens to you as a church, we're there to support you, encourage you, and help you in your journey. Because I want each and every one of us to understand this. I'm confident of the fact that God who began a good work in me, the God that who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. Be ready to be surprised. Be ready to be surprised. You might look at yourself and you might think, "I'm not qualified for this." But hey, surprise. Be ready to be surprised. God will say to you, "You are the man for it. You are the woman for it." when Grace said, when God said God was going to bring in builders, we thought, oh, it might be some young builder then. But surprise, surprise, be ready to be surprised. Boom, we've got greatest builders. Amen. We've got some great builders in the house. We've got David, we've got each and every one of Andrew, we've got Steve. Some great builders in the house. Amen. And each and every one of us, we're all, God's called each and every one of us to build. We're here to build. We're here to build. We're here to create. And we're not going anywhere until we see something built here for the kingdom of God. We're not moving anywhere until we see something here changed for the kingdom of God. Intake has always had bad reputation in Doncaster, but that's going to change in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's going to change. People will want to move in Intake now, because all of a sudden they'll be like, Junior, have you heard of that church? They're doing something amazing for Jesus in Intake. Let's all move to Intake. Amen. Intake is going to have a different name. Intake is going to have a different reputation, because God, who started a work in Intake, will bring it to completion in the name of Jesus. Now all God's people say amen, 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 and bless you guys. Them three things, please, please remember that God is preparing us. Please, please remember that God is making room for the new. Please, please remember that God is about to surprise you. You might think that, oh, this is the end. No, God is going to surprise you. God is saying to you, you think God heard you say this is the end, and God says, end, I'm going to show you. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. This is the beginning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Bless you.